I want you to turn to the book of John, chapter number 16. John, chapter number 16. Got two special prayer requests today. Number one, that I can be able to get through this message all the way through. Sometimes I don't always get done with what I get started on these things, and I want to make sure that you get the whole message today that I feel like the Lord has given me. And number two, I want you to pray. I got a little situation today. I've lost some weight, and my belt is not as tight as it used to be. And I usually wear a pair of suspenders, and I changed the suits and everything today, and I forgot to put those suspenders on today. So I might just stand here and not move around the whole lot, if you don't mind, amen. I don't want to cause any extra attention. So you just pray for me today, amen, all right? But I'm thankful to be here, amen. God bless you. Good to be in the house of God on the first day of the week. What a way to start the week out, amen. And I want to do this today. I know it's going to take a little time to do it, but I want to read this chapter to you because the message has a lot to say. And I want you to get the background for this message today, all right? I want you to get it all. So I'm going to begin here in John chapter number 16, verse number 1, all right? John chapter 16, verse number 1. Jesus said here, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." Boy, that's a good verse to remember right there, amen? "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you, I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Boy, what a day that's going to be. Amen. "I have set many things to say again unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall see me not, or ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Then said some of his disciples among themselves, "What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father." They said therefore, "What is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith." Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, "Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she's delivered of that child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow. But I will see you again." Man, that's great, isn't it? That's the promise that he gave, beginning over in John chapter 14. And your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your sorrow, or that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I am come out from the Father. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. What a chapter. You know, in this 16th chapter of the book of John, just two chapters after Jesus first tells his disciples he's going to be leaving them, he's going away from them, he's going to prepare a place for them. Just two chapters before, this is what he told them in John chapter 14. And just one chapter before Jesus took them into the midst of the garden here to pray with them, we've got a unique message from the Son of God. We got a message here that God loves each of us more than we could ever fully grasp or understand. And in this chapter, Jesus, once again, he confirms this fact to his closest followers. He confirms this fact to his 11 disciples, that he is about to leave them in order that they might be accompanied and filled with the very presence of another comforter, which is the Holy Spirit of God. Another comforter is going to be given as Jesus leaves this earth. We know that comforter is the Holy Spirit of God. We know that. Jesus talks about that. And that Holy Ghost of God, he personally indwells the heart and the life of every born-again believer. The very moment we accept him in our heart as our Savior, he's there. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And while these words seem to not only bring sorrow and distress into the hearts of the disciples, to know that Jesus was leaving them, he told them again here in verse number 7, John chapter 16, he said, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. You see, what Jesus was doing was for your sake and for mine. It was for the sake of his disciples. It's for the sake of those who come to know him as their own personal Savior. He said, For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And folks, there are times in each of our lives when things happen, when situations occur that we simply cannot understand. We cannot figure them out. We don't understand what's going on. No matter how hard we may try to figure it all out, we just don't understand. Nevertheless, Jesus said to these 11 followers, to these 11 disciples, that he so desperately loved. He cared for them. He wanted them to be encouraged. He said, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. It is necessary. It is very important for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And folks, the truth is this. Though you and I may not fully understand all the situations that come in our lives that seem to appear out of nowhere, heartaches, burdens, troubles, those things that come, they seemingly are insurmountable at times. We can't figure out what we need to do. We can't figure out where we need to go. This life upon this earth is full of situations like that. But I want you to understand something here. God is able to help us if we will trust Him to do that. If we'll trust Him. These disciples of Christ could not fathom living without the Savior, living without the one who had been there for them day and night for some 3.5 years. And now Jesus is telling them that it is expedient, it is important, it is for a reason that they do not yet see or understand as being important in their lives, that Jesus must leave them. He must go away. And congregation, I want you to understand something. The words here that Jesus spoke to these disciples that he so loved and he so cared for, he spoke these words some 2,000 plus years ago, okay, to these men. And I speak them here to you today from the Word of God. I speak them to simply remind you of the importance and of the expediency of our Lord and Savior Jesus going to the cross to suffer, to bleed, to die, to be buried in a borrowed tomb and be there for 3 days and 3 nights and that yet rise up again so that we might have victory and eternal life today over sin. Jesus had a purpose in all these things. And he wanted them to understand here that what he was doing was for their sake, for their benefit, so that they could be able to live faithfully for him. And he said here in verse 33 of this chapter, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And the Bible said this, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Smile. Be happy. Put some joy in your heart today. Listen, be of good cheer. Why? Because Jesus said, "I have overcome the world." Amen? We're on the winning side today, folks. Amen? We're on the winning side. And I want you to understand something. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. And God has won that battle already for us. We've got to be willing to trust Him. So this morning, I want to speak to you today. Every person is here, whether you're saved or whether you're lost, whether you're faithful to live for the Lord or whether you're just kind of floundering right now. You're not sure what you need to do. I want to speak to each one of us today with this simple thought in mind. I want to entitle the message, Stumbling Stones, Stumbling Blocks, or Stepping Stones. How do you see the situations that are coming in your life? Do you see them as stumbling blocks that the devil's throwing out in front of you? That give you a reason, an excuse not to live for God? Not to bear the testimony that God has given you to bear for Him? Or do we see them as just stepping stones? Something that God will use to help us, to serve Him, to be found faithful for Him. I want us to look at this today, all right? Let's pray, and then we'll give you the message. Father, Lord, I want this message today to glorify your name, first of all. But Lord, I want to speak the words that you've given me to be a help to your people. God, this is your people. You've saved them. Many of them here today, most everybody I know in here, know you as their own personal Savior. But Father, the devil is throwing situations in their lives that, boy, it seems like sometimes it's just insurmountable. We don't know how we're going to get through this situation. And Lord, there may be folks here today that's lost, that don't yet know you as their personal Savior. And Lord, they may be sitting here today thinking, man, I need to get saved, but I'm just not sure that God can take care of my situations. Lord, I pray that through the Word of God today that you will speak to each of these people. And help them, Lord, to know that, God, what the devil wants to put before us as stumbling blocks, Lord, you make into stepping stones. And you will help us if we will only trust you and depend upon your Word. So, Father, I pray, God, that you will allow the words that I speak today to be acceptable in your heart and in your mind. And help me, Lord, to say that which you would have me to say to bring honor and glory to your name. And we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. While Jesus was with these disciples, each and every day he taught them. He encouraged them. He strengthened them. He comforted them. He protected them. He constantly provided for them all their daily needs. And now he's telling them that he's about to leave them. He's telling them that, man, he's going to go away from them and not be with them. And to cheer them up, because he loved them, he told them about another comforter that he would send. Not just to dwell with them, but to dwell in them. That's the sweet Holy Spirit of God that indwells every born-again child of God. Back in John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18, Jesus told these men who had followed him and who had grown so accustomed to Jesus just being with them all the time, he told them, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And listen to these words. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Amen. What a blessed thought today that the Lord Jesus Christ cared this much for his people, for those who trusted him as their Savior. He wanted them to rest assured that though he was going away from them, to prepare a place for them, he's going to send another comforter, the sweet Holy Spirit of God, to dwell into them. And I want to share with you today just three things. Three things that we can look at as being either stumbling blocks in our lives or stepping stones in our lives. And each of these things, you're going to have to choose how you're going to make them to be in your life. Every one of us are going to experience these things. But each one of us have to determine how we see them in the light of God's holy word. And in knowing that God has made the promise, the Lord Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, I want us to see a couple things. Number one, you may think this is kind of strange, but I want you to see, number one, the situation of poverty. Poverty. Now, we talk about being poor. We talk about not having money to do this and money to do that. But folks, I want you to understand something. You and I who live here in America today are considered to be, in our world, some of the richest people that the world could ever know. Listen, you may not have a whole lot, but you've got a lot more than what most people in this world have today. You and I both have that. To be impoverished means to be found lacking those things that are basic to life. Perhaps riches that someone may feel that they've got to have in order to survive from day to day. Or it could pertain to overall happiness and joy in one's life. They're impoverished. They don't have the joy that somebody else has. They don't have the happiness that somebody has. Or it could even pertain to one's overall health situation. There are many folks in our church right now that are going through health situations. And men, they're asking the Lord, why, God, why? Am I having to go through this? Why is all this happening to me? And there seems to be no answer. No answer. Well, you know what? We all, in some form or fashion, have to deal with some type of impoverishment, some type of poverty while living upon this earth. This is just a fact of life. It's a fact of life. We have to face it from each and every day. And while some folks, including those who claim to know Christ as their Savior, are always looking on the bad side, okay, because they don't have as much money as somebody else has got, or they don't have as big a house as somebody else has got, or they don't have as fancy a car as somebody else has got, or their kids never seem to give them any problems, and they never see behind the scenes, okay, all right? Oh, man, I just don't have it as good as somebody else has got it. Listen, they use it for an excuse to get mad at God and to blame God for all the situations that come in their life, when God has opened up a door of opportunity for them to learn to trust the Lord and see how God can do something that we cannot do in our lives. You understand that today? Listen, I want to remind you today of what Jesus taught the people in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, he reminded them not to be so concerned about laying up treasures on this earth. We got folks today, man, they're looking at what's happening in our world and they're saying, man, I got to buy gold. I got to invest in this. I got to do that. I got to preserve my bank accounts. Listen, when this old world burns up one day, and it's going to, according to the Word of God, okay, they're not going to be able to tell your millions in the bank, the ashes of all that, than the ashes of all my bills laid up in the house. Amen? They're all going to be ashes. All going to be ashes. Not going to be able to tell the difference between the two. So don't worry about laying up treasures on this earth. We need to be concerned about laying up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves don't break through and steal. We need to be concerned about those things. Listen to what he said. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And folks, we're so concerned about what folks think and what folks around us have and don't have. And we think about all those things. We make that our concern, don't we? And boy, we're not right in doing that. We don't need to worry about that. We want everybody else to have, but we're never satisfied with those things that God has allowed us to have. I've learned, as Brother Paul said, to be content in whatsoever state I'm in. And that state is usually confusion, amen? But listen to me. We need to learn to be content with what God has given us. The opportunities that he has given to us. Folks, can I simply remind you today, situations like this, they're going to happen to everybody. We're all going to have situations we don't enjoy. But it's when times like this come in our lives that we must choose to take those seemingly stumbling blocks that the devil has put before us in our service to God and allow God to make them into stepping stones, so that we can continue to go on and serve the Lord and be found faithful to give our best unto him. And when it seems as if the Lord God hasn't given us all those things that we feel like we have to have in order to be happy, and all those things that we view, you know, as being important in this life, we need to ask the Lord to help us to trust him with our every need. Listen, I remember when I had COVID and they didn't send me to Carroll County Hospital. They sent me to Johns Hopkins. And from Johns Hopkins, they came in their little space outfits and all this stuff. They had me all isolated in a room. And they said, we're not going to keep you here. We're going to have to send you somewhere else. And I'm thinking, Lord, where are you going to send me? And they fixed up the Baltimore Convention Center, if you'll remember. I think the bottom floor, they fixed into a 250-bed ward. It was like a MASH unit. And they had things in there from just light cases of COVID all the way up to ventilator situations. And I remember them telling me that we're going to send you over here and nobody's going to be able to come and see you. And nobody can come in where you're going to be at. We don't know what's going to happen with you. And they strapped me down on that gurney and put me in an ambulance. I'm on oxygen and all this other stuff and took me in there. And you see people come in and you see people taken out. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, is this it? Is this how I'm going to leave this earth? Is this what you've got for me? And you know what? It would have been very easy to say, okay, Lord, I'm just going to be mad because you're not letting me see my family. I'm not going to be able to do this, do that. But I said this. I said, God, if this is what you've got for me, there's got to be people here that are dying. And Lord, if you'll give me the strength to be a witness to them, I'll tell everybody I can here about Jesus. And so I had tracks. I always keep tracks in my pocket. Always keep them in there. And they put me in this little room. It was out of this plastic corrugated material, probably about 8 by 8 or 10 by 10 or something. They had a bed over there, and they had like a recliner thing in there. I couldn't lay down. I couldn't breathe if I laid down. I stayed in that chair upright, and they would come over and try to get me up and walk me around and all this other stuff. And they had a little bio basket outside, and all our clothes and stuff. They took them, and they incinerated our clothes. They incinerated all that stuff. And they gave us a outfit we had to wear and all this other stuff. And you know what? I started passing out gospel tracts. Well, I ran out. I didn't have any more. And so I called my wife and I said, honey, can you bring me some gospel tracts? And they wouldn't even let her talk to me on their phone system there. I called her on my cell phone, but they wouldn't let her come in to even see me. And so Brother Buck Bowers, he said, I know where that place is at. I pick up biohazard waste down there every day. And he said, I'll go down there for you. And he had to go through security to just be able to leave them my New Testament and another stack of gospel tracts. And the security people stopped him and said, we can't let you have this stuff. And so the main doctor down there, she was a sweet lady. She came over and she said, preacher, if you want to give out gospel tracts, you give them to anybody and everybody in here. Because they're going to need to know. Some of these folks are not going to make it and they need to know the story you got to tell. And while I was there, I gave out gospel tracts. Man, I gave them all out. And nobody turned them away. Amen. Nobody turned them away. Even the doctors, the dietitians, all the people, the residents, the patients took them. I had the privilege to lead one homeless man to Christ, sit down with him and actually share the message in full. And he was being sent from there. They had a hotel building down there for homeless people that they were allowing those homeless people to stay in because they didn't have anywhere else to go. They had COVID. And he trusted Christ as his Savior. And man, I thank God. But had it not been for me having COVID and pneumonia and the sepsis and all this other mess that went with it, I would have never been there and never had the opportunity to give out the gospel to those who needed it there. And you see, God took that stumbling block that discouraged my heart at the moment and he turned it into a stepping stone, amen, to be able to give the gospel to those that needed to hear it before they went into eternity somewhere. Folks, we need to trust God. You know, the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 19, he said this, he said, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. The Spirit of God that dwells within us. Listen, the devil knows that he can discourage us, but he can't ever unsave us. So what's he going to try to do? He's going to try to allow situations to come in your life and in my life to cause us not to live for God and not to do what God has saved us to do. But we got to look beyond all those things. And we got to say, dear God, you know what? Yes, this is a bad situation, but I'm going to trust you to turn this stumbling block into a stepping stone that I can glorify your name, that I can lift up your name above all other names. And God, use me to be a blessing to somebody else. We allow situations like that to come in our lives, don't we? But we're going to have to choose what we're going to do. God wants us to trust him in the good times as well as in the bad times, folks. But he gives us the choice. He gives us the choice. And we have to make the right choice. We need to choose. But secondly, there's a situation of trials and heartaches. Trials and heartaches hit us all at some time or another in this life. They're going to happen. Trials, heartaches can be defined as a time of testing. Perhaps a time of distress that we simply cannot go on in life experiencing. And we think to ourselves, man, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? Why is this happening? Why are these trials, why are these heartaches constantly coming upon my life? You know what? It's because I think sometimes we get so used to the blessings of God in our lives that we forget the one who gave the blessings. And God says, let me remind you who gave you all these things here. Let me take this away from you for just a little while and see what happens then. So number one, I want you to see this. Don't forget the Lord, folks. Don't forget the Lord. The children of Israel had been delivered mightily out of bondage in Egypt. By God's mighty hand, he brought them out and sent them to the promised land. But you know what they did? They got out in the wilderness where it was hot. They got out in the wilderness where it was cold at night, hot in the day. And man, they were frustrated. They were mad because God didn't give them everything they wanted. And you know what they said? They said, let us just go back. We'll be back in bondage again. Just give us the leeks and garlic and the onions and all that stuff once again. We'll go back and be slaves. Let me tell you something. There is no way in the world I want to go back and serve the old taskmaster before I did get saved. Nothing is worth that today. Nothing is worth going back into the world and doing the things we used to do before we got saved. There's nothing worth that. God wanted them to trust him. And you know what? The Apostle Paul had to face the same things. But he said this in the book of Philippians chapter 3. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Folks, trials and heartaches are temporary on this earth. They're just temporary, but God's blessings are eternal. Amen? God's blessings are eternal. Allow the Lord God to turn your stumbling blocks into stepping stones today. Allow God to take the stumbling block of trials and temptations and heartaches and headaches and make them into a stepping stone of patience and trust in God. Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. When's the last time you thank God for the tribulations you're going through? When's the last time you thanked God for the trials and the heartaches and the burdens that you carry in your life? When's the last time you ever thanked him for that? You know what? We need to take time to thank him, because that's when God can prove himself to be the God of miracles and wonders in our lives. And God can do for us what no one else could ever do. And man, we need to thank him. He said, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Amen. But then I want you to see the third thing, the situation of persecution. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, our text verse, he said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Folks, listen to me today. The stumbling stone of persecution is really the stepping stone that leads to joy in a Christian's life. You know what? When folks come back and they fuss and they argue, I get calls all the time. Somebody came by my house and they left this pamphlet on my door that tells me how I'm supposed to know how to go to heaven. That's none of your business. Yes, it is. That's my business. That's what I do. That's what you're supposed to do. Amen. I don't want you dying and going to hell. And you know what? I would rather offend them here than have them offended up there because I didn't tell them. And folks, we get all upset. And when you know what? When Paul and Silas, just doing what God said do, in the book of Acts chapter 16, they were taken into custody for leading a young maiden to Christ who had been possessed by a devil of sorcery. And when that girl could not any longer do those things for the devil that brought them money, brought them gain, they took Brother Paul and Brother Silas and they beat them. They took them into custody. They stripped them down to nakedness and beat them to a pulp and gave the jailer charge and said, you put him in stocks and bonds that they don't get out. And man, he cast them down in the darkest part of the prison. And well, after they had been beaten, they got stripes on them, they're bleeding, they're hurting, they're tied up in fetters and in chains. The Bible said, and at midnight, at the darkest time in their life, at midnight, when they're hurting, when they're remembering what had happened just because they were trying to live for Christ, just because they were trying to do what God said do in their lives, at midnight, the Bible said, Paul and Silas prayed. They took their burden to God, and they began to sing praises unto God. Can you imagine? When's the last time you sang praises unto God for persecution in your life? We all sing praises. You know why? Because the world took notice that there was something different about you. Amen? And listen to this. The last part of that verse says, and the prisoners heard them. You know what? God used that persecution that they went through. He turned it from a stumbling block into a stepping stone. And when God sent the earthquake and the jailer came in and was ready to kill himself, Paul says, hey, do thyself no harm. We're all here. He grabs a light, runs in there, falls on his knees and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What do I got to do to have what you've got today in your life? And they were able to lead him and his whole household to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? All because they allowed God to turn what was a stumbling block in their life into a stepping stone for God's glory. Now, folks, I remember reading the story of a man named Stephen in the book of Acts, chapter 6 and 7. And there, he preached the word of God, and the Jews didn't like it. And when they got hold of him, they took him outside the city walls. They stoned him. But before they stoned him, they took their coats off and laid them down at the feet of a young man named Saul of Tarsus. And Saul watched Stephen as he was stoned to death. And Stephen prayed and he said, Lord, don't lay this to their charge. Lord, I'm coming home. God, there's something here. Paul said, there's something different about this guy. And I don't believe Paul ever forgot what he saw that day. And I believe it was because of what he saw in Stephen's life as he suffered through the persecution, as he allowed the stumbling block of death to come upon his life, it was turned into a stepping stone for this man named Saul of Tarsus, who later became known as the Apostle Paul and gave us some 13 books in the New Testament. He never forgot what he saw. And he never forgot to be faithful unto God and to trust him. The Bible talks about it. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me, in Jesus, in Christ, you might have peace. Listen, in the world, you shall have tribulation. Expect it. Look for it. It's going to happen. You can't get away from it. In the world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, amen? Because our Savior has overcome the world. And God can turn in your life any stumbling block that the devil throws in front of you, he can turn it into a stepping stone that will help you to bring honor and glory unto the one who has saved you. But it's your choice today. We each have to choose what we're going to do. Let's bow our heads just a moment. I want to ask you today, are you allowing the stumbling blocks that Satan has thrown before you to cause you to sit around on a stool of do nothing and just fuss and complain about how bad God has treated you? Or will you look at those things in the light of God's Word and say, Father, I don't understand why all this has happened, but God, I'm going to allow you, I'm going to trust you to turn these stumbling blocks in the stepping stones for your honor and for your glory. You may be sitting in this congregation today. You may be watching through the internet today. And you've not come to know Christ Jesus as your Savior because the devil has thrown stumbling blocks out in front of you. And the devil has thrown people that you consider to be hypocrites in front of you. And you say, all that church is just full of hypocrites. Well, one more ain't going to hurt anything. You come on and be with us. But listen to me today. Don't let the devil throw a stumbling block that's going to keep you from coming to know Christ as your Savior before your eyes today. Allow God to take that stumbling block and to bring you to salvation so you can know Him today. Don't leave this world without Christ, without knowing Christ. Father, I've tried to preach what you said to preach today. Lord, I know that folks are suffering today. I know, Father, that there are many today that are going through such trials and heartaches. And Lord, they're discouraged. And Lord, they just don't know what to think. Father, they don't know why you're allowing them to go through all these things. But Lord, today, I ask you, help them, Lord, to see that you have placed before them an opportunity to take that which seemingly is so bad and allow you to make it into something that could be so wonderful and so great that would bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, if there be someone today listening to the sound of my voice that's not saved, oh God, please remove that stumbling block of hesitation and all kind of problems that they've got, and let that stumbling block be turned into a stepping stone. Let them come to know you today as their own personal Savior. Don't let that stumbling block hinder them from coming unto you. Lord, speak to every child of God's heart today. And help us, Lord, to determine in our hearts today that no matter what comes our way, Lord, we're going to trust you. We're going to serve you. We're going to be found faithful. For one day soon, Lord, we're going to stand before you and give account unto you. And God, we want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Speak to our hearts now, God, and we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.